In the introit for today's Mass, the Church prays, "The groans of death surrounded me, and the sorrows of hell encompassed me. And in my affliction I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice from his holy temple. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my firmament, my refuge, and my deliverer." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As we enter upon this new season, this liturgical season of Septuagesima, the object of our consideration is now changed. It is not the coming down from heaven of the Son of God, but rather the coming down of man from his original dignity. The fall of our first parents, original sin. St. Paul tells us that man, by this original sin, he was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but because of the sin of our first parents. All men are subject to vanity unwillingly, whether they like it or not. And St. Paul continues, the way to escape this servitude is given in hope. More on this in a moment. St. Gregory the Great speaks about this vanity that we are subject to. He says, we refresh the body lest it should grow too weak and fail us. We take food. We chasten it by abstinence, lest it should wax gross and become the Lord over us. We have to diet, we have to fast. We strengthen it with exercise, lest it perish by not using it. We must have exercise. And straight away we give it rest, lest it faint through weariness. Too much work is too much work. We succor it, our bodies, with raiment, lest the cold should blight it. And we know this well these days. And then again we strip it of the raiment wherewith it is clothed, lest the heat should afflict it. He concludes, St. Gregory, in all these so many offices, what do we but serve what is corruptible? We are subjects, unwillingly, but nevertheless we are still subjects to these vanities, to corruption. And so the Church prays today in the Collect, "Mercifully hear, we beseech thee, O Lord, the prayers of thy people, that we who are justly afflicted for our sins may be mercifully delivered for the glory of thy name." How, you may ask, shall we free ourselves from such vanities? St. Paul has told us, by hope. How, then, shall we so hope? You must first discover in whom you should hope, and then hope in him entirely. Consider the epistle of today's Mass. St. Paul saying, "Brethren, run so as to obtain." What is your goal? What is it that you desire ultimately? Well, that is what indeed you are running towards. That is all you shall receive, all you can expect. Those spoken of by St. Paul in the end of his epistle, those with which most of them God was not well pleased, they did run. They ran, but they ran with uncertainty. They ran away from Egypt and the slavery thereof, yet they never really left those things behind by desire. For they, as it is written, they longed for the flesh pots of Egypt. And thus they would murmur time and time again against Moses, that they were better off back there in Egypt. And they would, in fact, go back here and now, if that were possible. They would return to their former way of living. In a word, they ran out of Egypt, but they still sought a corruptible crown. They were still subject, willingly, to vanity. It was not their past slavery, or their past sins, none of those things that prevented them from being worthy of entering the promised land. But it was their present love of those things that were in the past. They subjected themselves willingly to vanity, to those things which are corruptible. If vanity is all that you want at the end of the day, then vanity is all that you will get. So God, he did in fact fulfill their great desire in the desert. He sent an enormous flock of quail, upon which many of them fed. They gorged themselves until they became sick and died. It is in the nature of all things that are seen, that are corruptible, that they must at length corrupt. And we know this. So if we choose to invest everything that we have in them, to place all our hopes, or at least our chief hopes in them, to put all of our desires in those things, then we have chosen, at the end of the day, corruption forever as our lot. Again, we consider the gospel concerning these points. Our Lord tells us the parable today of the householder and the laborers in the vineyard. And he tells us at the end of the day, when therefore they were come, that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And of course, a penny, meaning a denarius, which is to say a day's wager, the daily recompense for a day's work, the minimum wage. Now, one penny for each man was given, for there is only a single goal to run to, a single thing that we can desire, a single reward that we can receive. That is heaven, the vision of God. And so if anyone receives payments at all, it is only in this way. And so in this sense, each laborer did indeed receive the same rewards. There is nothing else they could receive. All else is vanity and is to be reduced to nothing. So there is no question of anything else. But the parable continues, when the first laborers, they also came, they thought that they should receive something more. And they also received, every man, a penny, a day's work. These thought they should receive more. But as we have seen, what else is there to desire except vanities? And so they indeed did merit the reward of heaven. They did receive their penny. But they were still subject in part to vanities willingly. They desired something more. And because their heart was so divided, so also their very reward was less rewarding. And they complained. For all who seek God first, they shall be saved. The communion verse confirms this of this Mass, saying, "Let me not be confounded, O Lord, for I have called upon thee." Yet, not all shall receive the one reward, heaven, the vision of God, with the same fullness. According as one is less subject to vanity and subjects himself and all he possesses to God's good pleasure, so also shall he enjoy God more intensely in heaven. Again, the parable continues, "And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, These last, they have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and the heat." Can there be injustice in God? God forbid. But if we all were to be a matter of justice, the truth is none should be saved. The communion verse tells us this also, saying, "Make thy face, O God, to shine upon thy servants. Save me in thy mercy." It is by mercy that God calls each of us, hires each of us to labor for this reward. Yet God is to be more merciful to him who hopes in him more entirely. He who hopes not in himself, but hopes in the Lord. In light of this, we can see that, in fact, those who labored only in the 11th hour, they had done something more than the others. They hoped. They hoped more in the goodness of this householder who hired them. For unlike the others, as you will read in the parable, these alone did not make any agreement as to payment. The householder simply said, "Go into my vineyard." And they went, and they worked. For it is a greater deed and more arduous for man in his fallen nature to consider first God and what God can give us before considering himself and what he can do for himself by his labor. If we do this, then we have, in fact, we will have much less work to do. That is, if we actually put God first in our lives. For he has promised, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all else it shall be added unto you." For those things, the vanities that are yet necessary to us, they will be added to us, coming easily if we put first the kingdom of heaven. And then the householder in the parable answered this objection, saying to him, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Is thy eye evil because I am good?" That is to say, are you envious? If you are subject willingly to vanity, you must also be subject to the law of inflation, which regards currency. That is, the more there is to go around, and the more everyone else has, the less valuable is that which you yourself possess. This is the law of all things subject to vanity, which gives rise to envy. But when we seek instead God with a single heart, all those things that others may have, those supernatural things, the graces of those who are called also to be saints, they only increase the value of what we possess. They do not take it away like inflation of currency. For the graces that others receive, they only make us to praise and glorify God the more, for they manifest to us something more of God's beauty and goodness. God is like the sun. He is able to illuminate and warm us in our backyard so well that we will receive no less this warmth from these rays, even if all the world were also at the same time enjoying it in their own, each in his own yard. So rich is the sun in its heat and its light. And in fact, with the same analogy, when we are standing near to others in the sun, the rays of the sun, they only are reflected off of them upon ourselves. That is to say, we receive more sunlight when we are with others than if we were to stand by ourselves. And we actually gather more the warmth of the sun when we are with others than when we are alone. And so it is with the grace of God, which is poured out upon all the saints. The joy of one is the joy of all. Again, when we seek God with a single heart, and we are still, yet for a time, subject to vanities, but unwillingly, then, when others do become rich in such things, the corruptible things, and we therefore must needs be made poorer, our very poverty is another cause of joy. For Christ has said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit, for it is not that we do not possess any corruptible thing, but it has by this or that that our neighbor possesses, it has seemed to have lost all of its value. Well, blessed are the poor in spirit. The less we have, or the less we are regarded as having, the more we are like Jesus Christ, who emptied himself. He chose not honors and riches, but to be humble and unknown, as we have considered him these 40 days of Christmas. Let us refrain from vanities more. Give ourselves more to God. By receiving the sacraments, of course, prayer, reading, and good works. In this way we direct our hope to Him, to be more single, to be more perfect, and more true. Lent is approaching, and we are all subject to vanities, each and every one of us. But let it be unwillingly. That is the first step. The second step would be to find which vanity are you most subject to, and then to make a plan of attack. How to specifically overcome this weakness or this vice that I am most prone to. And then find a book about conquering that weakness and buy it, and then have that with you and try to use it during the season of Lent when we reform ourselves and prepare ourselves for the celebrations of Holy Week. May thy faithful, O God, we pray today in the post-communion, be strengthened by thy gifts, that by receiving them, they may ever hunger after them, and hungering after them, they may have their desires satisfied in the everlasting possession of them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.